Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road. 1025, 1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program on our 1025 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared, good morning. Rex Road, been doing a whole lot of agreeing with you lately from the Admirals discussion that we've had. The hey, J.C. Latham may not look like a prototypical left tackle. Do you feel like finally infiltrated Rex Rhodes' mind here? Because there's a whole lot of agreeing with you that he's done lately. It's a little unnerving.
Yeah, I think that this could be serious problem. This could be a serious problem for me and for both of you guys. You know, because what Joe's doing is he's messing with a formula that is clearly working, because, you know, that's why you guys now have the number one morning show in town, is because it is an entire morning show to refute my show. And if Joe's going to agree with it, I mean, the people are going to start tuning out, maybe. I don't know. It worries me. And then when Joe comes on for Jared versus Joe, and, you know, we happen to have the number one afternoon show in town, too. When that happens, you know, and we agree, I mean, the people might, that's not, we're not giving the people what they came for.
Joe, your response?
Well, I mean, this, see, Jared's answer tells you right there. I just tell you my true opinion. I mean, it's a very simple way to live. Then I put my head on my pillow at night, and I have no regrets, you know, no regrets.
Yes, not a single letter.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, look, there are times when our opinions are going to coincide. And then there are times when someone on the text line, Jared, is going to tell me, Jared claimed on the show yesterday that he got Vrabel fired. Please tell me this isn't true.
Okay, so I believe that I indirectly got Mike Vrabel fired.
Okay.
Well,
go ahead. Explain yourself.
Joe, who believes the New England comments were not a big deal, but then later had to write that they were a big deal, but that they weren't a big deal for the reasons that they were a big deal. You know, that is, so here's my theory, right? And again, this goes back to the point I brought up to start the show about, you know, how listened to your show is and how listened to my show is and how listened to our station is, which we are incredibly grateful for.
We are.
But I don't think, like, the Titans listen to me, you know, bitch about Vrabel every day and said, oh, yeah, Jared says that we should fire Vrabel, so let's do it. I don't think it's like that. Though I do think that, you know, I do think the Titans listen. And I think that what happened was I just constantly kept bringing up, you know, Vrabel's just constant barrage of bullcrap. And, you know, something that Joe thinks is really weird, but, like, taking cuts that he said things in the off season and saying, well, but now he's saying this, and then asking him this, and then, you know, he's getting all be a man. And, I mean, I think that, I don't even know if Amy would have known that those Patriot comments existed if I hadn't brought them up. Gentry then asked him about them, and then Vrabel, having known that I said it, then getting into me about it. And I think it's all that kind of stuff that just kind of ultimately – oh, and all the Vrabel ran stuff that Vrabel felt like he didn't have to address with Amy. I mean, again, like, our show was kind of the spot where we really dug in deep on that stuff, unlike everybody else in town put their hands over their ears and said, la, 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 I don't believe it. They sat down with TD and said that they're best friends, so I think that's the truth. You know, like, that kind of thing. And I think that it just kind of brought to everybody's attention. I mean, ultimately, the losing got Vrabel fired, but I do think that, like, that brought a lot to the forefront.
Now we're back in there. I feel more comfortable now with you two not agreeing with each other anymore.
I'd like Robbie's reaction to what Jared just said.
I'm on Team Jared. I'm always on Team Jared in this discussion.
Yeah, well, whatever, man.
Jared, I heard you talking before the schedule was released the other day about how it was important for the Titans maybe to have a little bit of a lighter schedule towards the beginning as they're going through the process of the growing pains of the season and meshing together all those things. I agreed with that sentiment. I don't think the Titans really got that. I mean, I'm looking at the first part of the schedule. Chicago, we'll see, with Caleb Williams. But after that, like the Jets, the Packers, and the Dolphins,
I didn't think that worked out well. Well, apparently I've missed this. Apparently the Chicago Bears are headed to the Super Bowl.
Well, there has been some talk.
I mean, I was shocked. Did you see that the Titans are a 4.5-point dog?
I did see
at
that.
Chicago. Meanwhile, Washington is on the road at Tampa Bay, a team that went to the divisional round of the playoffs last year, returns its quarterback, and they're a 4-point dog. I'm like, wait a minute, what? So I have no idea what's going to happen this season because I think all that stuff's crazy. But I will say this. I truly thought the Titans got the fairest schedule I've ever seen, but I think the Titans got an insanely fair schedule. I mean, the early bye is probably not something that I would want, but other than that, like, it's not like they run through like a stretch of six games where they're against five, you know, just playoff, you know, it's not like in 2022 where they had that run against like Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, like all in a row. In 2021, they had the Chiefs and the Bills and the Rams and the Colts all in. They don't have any of that this year. So, well, yeah, the beginning of the schedule isn't easy. I mean, it's not like Chicago is great unless you're believing all that hype. It's not like the Jets are great, though Aaron's back in there. Green Bay, I mean, Green Bay was great down the stretch last year, but they were 6-8 headed at Christmas. This is the for sure year for Jordan Love. And then, you know, Miami, they're 2-8 in primetime games and Tua sucks. So I just kind of feel like, you know, it wasn't a easy schedule at the beginning, but it wasn't a hard schedule. And I think overall it was an insanely fair schedule.
Yeah, there are a lot of things to like about it. The rest, I love that term, rest differential. Yeah. It's pretty good for the Titans. But I think the front end could still be a big problem for them, right? I mean, like, are they going to be good enough? Because that, to me, is the toughest stretch. Well, you're wrong about Tua, as always. You're always wrong about Tua. But
Tua sucks.
You know, the Dolphins aren't unbeatable. Okay, just calm down. Everybody sucks, I know.
Do you need
to say the word sucks a few more times? Make yourself feel comfortable in the morning?
We've talked about this. When there's a noon kickoff that nobody watches, so that they're playing, you know, the Patriots nowadays, like, when there's a noon kickoff that nobody watches, Tua excels. And I couldn't tell you what he does in those games because I don't watch them.
Are they against NFL teams? Are they professional football games or no? Because I remember one of them at Baltimore when he completely annihilated them.
They beat one playoff team last year, Dallas. Every other playoff team they played, Buffalo twice, Kansas City, Baltimore, they lost to. Every single one.
Did Jalen Waddle's injury matter or no? No?
Over the last 2 years, Tua has beaten two quarterbacks in prime time. They are 2-8. Over the last 2 years in primetime, he's beaten two quarterbacks. He hasn't beaten Will Levis in primetime, even though the Titans handed Miami the game.
Never. He's never beaten Will Levis in primetime.
Fumble. They've beaten two. Kenny Pickett and Mac Jones, the two quarterbacks that he's beaten in primetime. He stinks.
What's Sam Darnold's primetime record? Do you know that off the top of your head?
What's that?
What's Sam Darnold's primetime record? Do you know that off the top of your head?
But he was doing that with Adam Gase. That doesn't count.
Okay, all right. Just checking.
Put Tua with Adam Gase and not Tyreek Hill. Let's see what happens. Tua is the biggest fraud in the NFL, and I will die on that hill that he is an absolute – he is not a backup. Like, he's better than a backup, but I would take Trevor Lawrence over him, and I don't like Trevor Lawrence. I would take Dak Prescott over him, and I don't think he can win with Dak Prescott. I'd take a lot of quarterbacks before I would take Tua. I would take Will Levis over Tua because there is a chance that Will Levis will be a great quarterback. There's also a chance that Will Levis is a backup, but, like, there's a chance he'll be great. Tua will never be better than average, and the Dolphins are going to pay him $55 million because they're stupid, and I cannot wait for that day to come.
What did you think of the Jared Goff contract? Does this justify your feelings from 2 years ago?
You were wrong.
I knew you were going to go there.
That's what I thought.
I can't believe you brought it up, Robbie.
My issues are with Joe. But 2 years ago, I said Jared Goff was better than Ryan Tannehill.
At the time, he wasn't.
Stanley threw a fit about that. So much so, I was looking through the text messages because I just searched Jared Goff in my phone. And the text messages of you in all caps screaming Jared Goff at me over and over and over again kept coming up, including one text where you said, I'm just going to keep yelling Jared Goff at you for that terrible take. Well, right now, Jared Goff's making $50 million bucks, and Ryan Tannehill doesn't have a job.
The information has changed in 2 years.
Yeah.
He was better at the time.
Jared can't handle, you know, information changes and things change. Let me ask you this, Jared. We've talked about this hypothetical.
No. I have felt the exact same way about Jared Goff the entire time. It is everybody else's opinion that have changed about Jared Goff. For me, when people said that he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league when he was with the Rams, I was like, whoa now. I was like, he is doing what McVay tells him to do, and that's why they're lighting up the scoreboard, but he's not that good. Like, he's not one of the best QBs in the league. Then when everybody thought he sucked because McVay kicked him to the curb, I'm like, he doesn't suck that bad. Like, he is a solid starting quarterback. Like, people are just being disrespectful to Jared Goff. And, I mean, I still feel the same way. I think Goff, you know, when I talk about Lawrence and Prescott, I think Goff's in that category. I don't think Goff's a superstar, but I also don't think he's a bum. And I do think now there are going to be some people that think that he's a superstar again, and he's not.
Okay. So, first of all, one thing you failed to mention, that he got better. I mean, he has gotten better. He has responded to getting dumped by the Rams. But let me ask you this. Jared Goff on the Tennessee Titans the last 2 years, Ryan Tannehill on the Detroit Lions the last 2 years. What are the results?
I think Jared Goff is probably a backup, and Ryan Tannehill's probably re-signed for about $45 million a year in Detroit.
God, see, I agree with you again. This is getting wild. Feel gross. I need to shower.
This is getting wild.
I mean, I actually heard the conversation with Charles yesterday, and I don't know what the deal with Tannehill is. You know, I had a former coach call me and that knows Tannehill pretty well, and they said, well, what's the deal with Tannehill? Well, like, why is he not getting a job? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, I figured Tannehill would be – I thought that when Mike Tomlin got up there and said, we're going to bring competition in for Kenny Pickett, I thought that – that was like, and they hired Arthur. I was like, okay, they're going to bring Tannehill in here. And they're going to tell Tannehill, you're the backup. But if Kenny stinks, then you're going in. And as soon as they signed Russell Wilson, because I just don't see Russell Wilson as like an Arthur Smith kind of guy, I was like, what? And then I see all these backup spots fill up, and I don't see Tannehill anywhere. And now I don't even know if there is a backup spot for Tannehill. So I don't know if Tannehill's retiring. I don't know if he's going the Joe Flacco route. But I certainly think that he's better than that. And I think that, to Joe's point, like, I don't know if John Elway the last 2 years could have survived behind this offensive line. You know, Joe Burrow could. He's the only guy in the world that could. But I think that, again, to your point, a lot of Goff and Tannehill, those kind of quarterbacks, a lot of their success is based upon having a good team around them. And so that's why I think if you flip-flop their situations, the public view is so different of each guy.
Jared, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. We look forward to your very popular program coming up at 2 o'clock today.
Absolutely. Mazel tov to you guys on all the success that you've had really leading off the morning. Great for the station.
Thank you very much, Jared. We'll react to what Jared had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning. Appreciate Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, an update on the Scottie Scheffler story that continues to unfold this morning. So it's been a wild morning for those who have missed it out at the PGA Championship up in Valhalla in Louisville. Coincidentally enough, our own Nick Kieser is there. So we've been getting texts from him all morning long. So for those who missed it, Scottie Scheffler is in police custody up in Louisville. There was a traffic accident that backed things up by Valhalla Golf Club, where apparently there was a pedestrian fatality. and with an incident involving some sort of a shuttle bus. I've not seen a ton of details on exactly what happened there yet. In the aftermath of that, apparently Scottie Scheffler, the world number one golfer and the Masters champion, was trying to get to the golf club, and Jeff Darlington of ESPN put this out there. He's detained by police. A misunderstanding with traffic flow led to his attempt to drive past a police officer into Valhalla Golf Club. The police officer attempted to attach himself to Scheffler's car, and Scheffler then stopped his vehicle at the entrance to Valhalla. The police officer then began to scream at Scheffler to get out of the car. When Scheffler exited the vehicle, the officer shoved Scheffler against the car and immediately placed him in handcuffs. He's now being detained in the back of a police car. That was at 5:35 this morning. There's been video that's come out from Darlington of Scheffler being arrested and placed in the back of the cop car. And now, Joe, there's a mugshot that surfaced out there from Golf Digest that they put out there from the Louisville Department of Correction. So apparently Scottie Scheffler is being booked and processed and is in jail right now.
Do we know what the charge is?
I don't. I have not seen it.
That's just insane.
This is a wild story.
It's absolutely bizarre. And, yeah, Darlington tweeted that he said to him, "Can you help me?"
Yeah.
To Darlington, who's taking a video. What we don't have is exactly like a video or exact details on the interaction. But, man, it must have been way out of bounds from him, right?
Him or the cop, one of the two. Like, I can't imagine, right. Like, I can't imagine, like, the way that Darlington's been on ESPN basically all morning long. Basically, the way that Darlington's made it sound like is that Scheffler thought when he was getting around traffic, it was apparently right by the golf club, and he thought that they were like security guards up there, and he was trying to get around security to get in and get his stuff. And it wasn't security, it was the police. So there was a misunderstanding there, and then they started yelling at him, and Scheffler rolled his window down, the cop grabbed him by the arm and pulled him out of the car. Like, that's what Darlington is throwing out there. So, like, I don't know what Scheffler said. I don't know what Scheffler did. I don't know if it was just him driving by and not paying attention. I have no idea. But apparently now he's being booked in jail.
I mean, were there not flashing lights?
I would assume so. I mean, they just flashed through the ticker. Scottie Scheffler scheduled to tee off at 9:08 a.m. Unclear as to whether or not he'll be there. I would say so. I don't know if Scheffler's going to make his 9:08 tee time here.
This is one of those times when X can be.
It's pretty. You know, it's pretty good right now.
Yeah, I sent you guys the tweet of Scottie Scheffler first tee. It's a picture of him with like a face tattoo that he got in jail this morning. But in all seriousness, now I got like a look at Shooter McGavin, the cop who has a bet on Xander.
Yeah.
How does the PGA react to this? I mean, do they like at least try to give him until the last possible tee off time today?
I mean, you can't delay the tournament like a full day. I mean, the weather's not going to be great up there. You can't delay the tournament.
I guess it's just like, can you give him as much time as possible in case he can get bailed out and get back over there?
I guess. This is going to be, I mean, this is going to turn into an absolute storm. Like, again, without knowing what happened, like, if this turns into, like, some hothead cop story, like, the PGA and Scottie Scheffler are going to lawyer up and they're going to try to go crazy on this thing. If it's Scheffler doing something and, like, saying something, then I don't really know what you can do in that sense. Like, there's video of Darlington in the immediate aftermath of Scheffler being taken to the car where a cop approaches Darlington. And I guess the cop thought that Darlington was like Scheffler's agent or something. It was like, hey, there's nothing you can do with him right now. He's going to jail. And Darlington was like, well, that's okay. I'm a reporter. Like, I'm trying to report on this right now. And the cop's like, that's fine. Step back. He's going to jail. And it's like, geez, like this for something that looked like a misunderstanding, the way that he put it, it seems like it's escalating very quickly.
Peter Burns told unsportsmanlike that the police officer told him quote, "Some bleep tried to run over one of our cops. That person is going to jail," end quote. That's what Peter Burns relayed.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Jeez, man. This is a new one.
This is a new one. It was funny. Like, there was Have you ever seen the clip of Tiger Woods like walking on the tee box, and there was some dude in the crowd that's wearing a shirt of Tiger Woods' like mugshot, I guess, from when he got arrested one time, and now like people are already like trying to print up shirts of Scottie Scheffler's mugshot. Maybe he is Tiger Woods. Like, it's pretty wild the way this is going down right now.
I mean, the fact that obviously this could, in theory, happen to like any, in this situation, any golfer showing up, you know, just being a little bit overzealous. Again, I don't know what happened, so I'm not going to try to characterize what happened, but the fact that it's Scheffler is just wild.
It is very wild. And again, like, that's what's getting all the attention here, and I understand why, but there was a fatality this morning, too, that is kind of the root cause of all this, which is just horrible to think about. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Yeah, straight up. Lord.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning. I got some tickets to give away to see Bill Burr tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets tonight to see Bill Burr at Bridgestone Arena, 615-737-1025. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number. It has been interesting to watch Titans fans kind of react to the schedule the last 2 days here. I've seen anywhere from 12-5, Titans are going 12-5, to 4-13, Titans are going to be terrible. It's a wild spectrum that I've seen so far in terms of the schedule, the way it lays out, how people viewed the Titans, all of those things. The one thing that we've brought up in terms of the new coaching part of this, I do wonder, the way the schedule plays out, the week 5 bye, pretty much every game with the exception of 2 at the moment are scheduled to be at noon, and you have nobody coming off a bye playing the Titans. What did you call it earlier? The rest differential? Is that the official term? I think Joe's mic is out for some reason, but we'll get that fixed at some point. The rest differential for the Titans apparently is very good. So there's a lot that I think you could point to that you can actually like about the Titans schedule and the way that it plays out here. I still look at those fours for a game, and I hear what Jared was saying. Like, nobody knows what the Jets are going to be. Like, Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. He's coming off the torn Achilles. Look, Aaron Rodgers, if he's completely healthy, I think he's still got plenty left in the tank. He's really, really good. But, you know, he is 40 years old coming off a torn Achilles. How long does it take him to get back up to speed that way? You have the Packers, who have a very, very young roster, and who were basically a 500 team or right below it next year or last year, and then they got hot towards the end of the year. What are they this season? Miami, really good speed. Really good offensive team, but the Titans have already gone to Miami and beat them last year. Not that that means that they will this year again, but they've seen them do it. It's a really interesting first part of the schedule. And by the way, after the bye week, you've got Indy, at Buffalo, and at Detroit. So if you want to include that in the first part of the season, you can. I mean, Joe, when we went through our exercise yesterday, I think I had the Titans at 2-5 through the first 7 games.
Yeah. Am I back?
You're back.
Okay. Yeah. The start is where it's – I mean, I agree that overall it's good in terms of there's no crazy stretch. Now, I think a little bit more of Tua than our friend in the afternoon there. But there's not an absolutely killer stretch. I mean, Buffalo-Detroit is that's a brutal back-to-back. But still, yeah, the start of the season is where it's easy to see this team being in a hole. Like, there's going to be some things. A lot of teams obviously try to improve through the season, and there's some stuff that's rough early in the season. But when you have a team with a new coach and a quarterback, you know, first year as a full-time starter going into the season, and all the new players, now some of the players are veterans, so you expect excellence from the start, but like, this team really can't afford to have a slow start. It can't afford to be super rusty and clunky early, or it's going to be in a big hole.
Joe, real quickly, this continues to update kind of by the moment here as we're going with the Scottie Scheffler stuff. So apparently his charges have been released. This is this is coming from Sam Stone on Twitter, and he got this from a government website in Kentucky. Quote, second degree assault of a police officer, criminal mischief third degree, reckless driving, and disregarding signals from an officer directing traffic. Those are the charges that Scottie Scheffler is now facing. Second degree assault of a police officer, criminal mischief in the third degree, reckless driving, and disregarding signals from an officer directing traffic.
Wow. That doesn't sound great.
That does not
so
sound
he
great.
Has been. Yeah, apparently he's been released. So good luck with your round today, Scotty.
Yeah, hey, go hit the ball well, Scotty. See how that goes. Like, first off, I mean, how do you – it's golf, so it's just you and the ball. Like, that's what it is. But, like, trying to refocus after that, that's going to be a heck of a challenge for Scotty Scheffler today. Is he going to play? Like, is he going to withdraw? Like, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here.
Yeah, really interesting. Gosh. I don't know. What would you guess? I mean, I would guess he'll probably go over there and play, right? I mean, it's one of the biggest events of his profession.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so, but this is wild. I mean, second-degree assault of a police officer.
Later.
Yeah. Second-degree assault of a police officer is a serious charge, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
I'm no legal expert, but that seems like a pretty serious charge there for Scottie Scheffler.
And that's the thing. It's like, that's what no one has video of, right?
Right.
Is like, what exactly did he do with his car, and how close did he come to actually running over? Because even if it's a security guard, it really doesn't matter. Like, how close did he come to running over a human trying to get to the golf course?
Right. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But and we've had some people on the text line asking us, like, how could Scottie Scheffler not have his own driver to get to the – I don't know. Like, I don't know how all that works. And, look, clearly it was a chaotic
scene.
Most guys
drive themselves.
Yeah. Like, clearly, I mean, with the fatality that kind of led all this off with the incident with the shuttle bus, it was a chaotic scene around the golf club. And you're in a place where I would assume there's not much familiarity. Like, Michael Collins has gone on ESPN and talked about, like, some other golfers basically did the same thing. And tried to, Michael Collins just said on ESPN, other golfers made the same move, traffic move around the accident that Scottie Scheffler did without any problems, and play will begin at 8:35 a.m. So I don't know what to make of all this. This is wild.
Wow, what a day. This is going to make me pay more attention to golf than I normally do, let me tell you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm usually a last hour of a major on a Sunday watcher, but I'll probably pick that up a little bit this weekend.
I think I'll probably pick that up a little bit this weekend too. But again, this is just a developing story with more information coming out as we are on the air today. So if you missed it, Scottie Scheffler arrested this morning right around Valhalla Golf Club. He's been charged with, among other things, second degree assault of a police officer, criminal mischief in the third degree, reckless driving, disregarding signals from an officer directing traffic as well. So we'll see what that means for Scottie Scheffler and whether or not he plays today. Somebody's asked us where he's at on the leaderboard. So Xander Schauffele is at the top of the leaderboard from yesterday. He had an incredible round, set a record at Valhalla Golf Club. Scheffler, I believe, is 4-under. So Shoffley's the leader at 9-under. Finau and Thigala are at 6-under. Rory McIlroy's at 5-under. And Scheffler's at 4-under. So Scheffler is tied for 12th. On the leaderboard right now. So that's where he's at in the stands. And you know, if you've watched Scottie Scheffler this year, you know as long as he's hanging around, he's got a pretty good chance to win.
Yeah, he's in good position. So, well, in terms of golf.
In terms of golf, yes. In terms of golf, he's in very good position. Now, you know, Jared was texting me. We had some people about this on the text line, too. Let me pull up the text from Jerry. It says, I was on radio in Louisville on Wednesday, and they told me the big question was if they'd get a future PGA event. I don't know how all this is going to factor into it, but this is my response to him was, I believe the answer will be no for a while, regardless of who's at fault and what all is going on here. This is a wild situation.
Jeez. Well, enjoy it, Keezer. Enjoy that nearby golf major while you can.
I mean, I feel like we're really missing an opportunity here for like a Nick Keezer live report from the grounds. We've got somebody on site, you know?
Yeah, let's get him. Yeah, let's get him going here. We can get him in the last hour.
We absolutely can. Maybe we'll have to work on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. We'll do that next. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Rolling down the street in a Hyundai Tucson. Wonder why you married a tool. Laid back with your mind on your hubby and your hubby on your nerves. Rolling down the street in a Nissan Sentra. How come you always have to pick up the food? So whack.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. It has been a minute since I've heard that one, and boy, does that put me in a good mood. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
How was our show not canceled after that episode?
I don't know. It may be now. I don't know.
Good Lord. The thing is, that's embarrassing, but I'm sure you remember, Robbie, like the whole thing, I like lost time on because I tried to do it live and I kind of like lost my time. And I was just like, no, stop the music. I mean, it was like, yeah, next time.
The total train wreck.
Next time, please record it and don't. But, you know, Katie liked it. Katie liked it. People had positive things to say.
They did.
That's good. I just don't want to ever hear it again. So thank you, David James. You know, that's one thing Keezer doesn't do to me is make me listen to that. So.
Well, you're welcome, buddy.
Appreciate you digging deep for that one.
I really did.
Well, speaking of my wife, I want to quickly address the Harrison Butker stuff. First of all, again, I want to say shout out to the L.A. Chargers. I think we have a ranking today coming out of the videos. I ranked them first. The Sims thing. The fact that they weaved in Harrison Butker you know, being a nice, happy homemaker in that video, like a day after his speech or whatever, the day after his speech went viral.
Impressive editing.
That is awfully impressive. Yeah, this things like this happen, and then it's very predictable. It's just this whole back and forth of screaming, and really a lot of the reaction is worse than the original thing. You know,
right.
Like some of the people caping for him now are saying stuff that's like. What are you talking about? For example, I don't know. This dude, TJ Moe, he like works with Whitlock on The Blaze. Okay, so I'm already like starting to be creeped out. But, well, I guess I should, for people who didn't hear. But Harrison Butker gave a speech. He's a kicker for the Chiefs. Gave a speech at Benedictine College, Catholic College. I watched the whole speech because it's a big thing to me. Like, well, let's. Like, you got one little clip, but what about the whole speech?
Right.
And now, of course, the thing is, this is also, even if you didn't watch the whole speech, it's kind of like, if people want to say, here is the full context. Like, well, so you baked a cake that, like, had eggs, milk, flour, all that stuff, but then there's also a turd in it. You know, like, you ruined the whole cake, okay? So, I mean, you know, maybe someone gets a slice without the turd, but it's in there. That was gross. So
very
anyway,
illustrative.
Butker, yeah, thank you. You know, he gave this speech, and the two things that stand out is, you know, he decried, you know, Pride Month. And the thing that people are really reacting to is the quote about women, which is, and I don't even have a problem. I don't have a problem with someone saying it's an absolutely wonderful existence for a woman who chooses to just raise children and be a homemaker. I mean, every woman should be able to choose whatever they want to be. But he said that they have been told diabolical lies. I'm like, what in the world does that mean? You've been told diabolical lies about being able to be whatever you want to be? I mean, I don't totally understand what in the world he's talking about. But anyway, then the reaction gets, and sure, I mean, some of the reaction to it also, let's be fair, is like he should be deported or kicked out of the league or whatever. No, I mean, you know, it's you say whatever you want, and then people can say whatever they want. Like, this isn't a free speech thing. He said what he said. There's not going to be any ramifications other than other people saying things to him. And I know the NFL put out like a statement, but you know, it's like he's getting disciplined. But this TJ Moe guy, and he got into it with actually someone who works at a different station, but works for the SEC Network, Dawn Davenport, and I just like to throw my full support with her and the back and forth. He said, quote, "Not a word Harrison Bucker says here should be remotely controversial. He's 100% correct. Those trying to convince women that being assistant VP of lending and intentionally childless at age 40 is more fulfilling than making a family and home are evil," end quote. Anything like this happens, and I'm just like, it is 2024. Some people have kids. Some people don't. Who cares? Right. Shut up. And you know, the idea that, like women, you know, this is the role of women in the world, it's just, my God. I mentioned Bussing with the Boys. You know, they put out the, like, this is the awesome speech, and then people went nuts about it, and then Luan and Compton both, like, apologized. I thought Compton's video was good. But, like, the reaction, because Compton was like, yeah, like, I was, like, getting into it. And all of a sudden he starts talking about this woman stuff, and I'm like, is he talking to a cult?
I didn't hear that. I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, he's like, you know, he just was honest about, like, the reaction that probably a lot of people had. Some of the speech is fine. And then he gets to that, and it's like, what in the world? But the comments, which, of course, I can't resist going to, it's like, oh, look, I mean, it's just a stream of, look at you bending to the woke mob. It's like, so the woke mob now includes people who think women should be employed? That's the woke mob? Holy crap, the woke mob is huge. It's like, I hope most of the freaking world. Anyway, I just thought I had to address it. It wasn't as quick as I hoped it would be.
I'm just glad that you know Harrison Butker's name now. The other day, we didn't know that.
Oh, I called him Buker, didn't I?
You did.
Buker. Buker.
I was like, who is that?
This is probably another good example why kickers should just shut up. Like, you know, Peyton Manning and, you know, was it Vanderjagt?
It was Vanderjagt.
Yeah. That drunk kicker
was floating around. Was that the Pro Bowl when Manning was sitting there? Our idiot kicker ran his mouth off. I remember that at the time. That was fun.
Oh God!
That was the most demonstrative I've ever seen Peyton Manning in a like an actual on the record setting.
Yeah, that was God. That's going back away too. Okay, someone just said in the text I sent me good Lord, oh goody. There's a Fox News link someone just sent me. It says the headline says Harrison Bucker's commitment speech quote showed courage and commitment. Lou Holtz says.
Lou Holtz.
Lou. All right. Fire up the Lou Holtz. Let's get that going.
I just want the McAfee, the guy on McAfee's impression of Lou Holtz. That's one of the greatest things on the earth.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, we immediately need we immediately need McAfee to fire up Lou Holtz, you know, praising this speech. I'm all in on it.
Joe, breaking news, Scotty Scheffler is on his way to Valhalla. He's on his way to the golf course. Scotty! Minor detour this morning by the jailhouse. Tee time coming up. So apparently, I guess that means he's playing, right? He's on the way to the golf course.
Scotty, would you consider taking an Uber?
Yeah. I would imagine he's probably not behind the wheel this time. Probably somebody driving him.
I mean, what a presser today. Can Keezer get a press pass and give us, give us live audio from the presser today?
I mean, not that, again, you know, everybody's going nuts with the Scottie Scheffler stuff right now, and the thing that kicked all this stuff off was somebody dying today. So obviously, that is, it's not good. The him going back and playing today, like I would imagine the viewership numbers for that are going to be through the roof. Like PGA's viewership numbers from him going back and playing today are going to be wildly high. Would be my guess.
Oh man, I mean this is wild. Is the broadcast going to have anything but he was already going to be the most, right? Like, he was already going to be the most watched person.
Him and Tiger,
but like, is there?
Yeah.
Are they? Well, that's true. But like today, they might even just ignore Tiger.
They might. They might.
Like every move Scottie Scheffler makes. It's yeah. No, you're right. Like the numbers on this are going to be. There are a lot of people in the world who like probably didn't know Scottie Scheffler's name. Just don't pay attention to golf or even
right.
sports. Who now know who he is?
They know exactly who he is. It's a wild story. So again, that's the latest update. He is heading to Valhalla. I would assume that means he's going to play. They're tweeting about, you know, there's some, I guess, some provision in the rules where, like, if you miss your original tee time, if the committee deems that it's because of extreme extenuating circumstances, that's fine, and they'll just push it back. And I guess that's what they're going to try to do here with Scottie Scheffler is invoke that policy, and I think this would probably qualify as an extreme situation. So I guess his tee time is going to be pushed back here, but it looks like he's going to go play.
That's what they said. Jason Sobel said Scottie Scheffler's new tee time is 10:08 a.m.
10:08 a.m. Okay. So there you go. That's the latest on the Scottie Scheffler front. What a 4.5-5 hour period this has been for him. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.